Guys, good morning. It's another Saturday, and here I am back at my little desk, table, whatever. I want to say hello. Thank you all for bearing with me last week. I hope you didn't mind my pre-recorded thing. It wasn't a repeat of anything. It was new. Interestingly enough, on the way to the studio this morning, National Public Radio was talking about Castro, because I think it's 60 years today or yesterday or so from when he technically took over Cuba. So they were talking about how we were all enthralled with him when he first came to New York, and Ed Sullivan, who was dying to really be a broadcaster, wasn't good enough to be the top entertainment host on television. You could Google Ed Sullivan. He was the biggest host on television back in those days. So anyway, he actually flew down to Cuba and interviewed Castro, but I think it was all on audio because they said they couldn't find a place to plug in the camera with enough power. Interestingly enough, for the record, Castro, who was trained as an attorney and, you know, generally wore his fatigues forever, so he was constantly in battle, I guess, or ready for it, or comfortable in his pajamas, they said that he said, well, you know, if I could have the pure power of being in charge of everything like Stalin, maybe I'd wear a suit and act differently, he said. But, you know, for the time being, I'll deal with my fatigues, I guess. So having worn both, I could tell you, as long as you get it made right and it fits you right, you should be comfortable in either one. Main difference is you got a tie. Just don't put it too tight around your neck. Anyway, what I decided was, since not being here last week and a lot of things have transpired, we've all heard the name Mueller a lot, and now we hear it about a new bar to be passed. But of course, this bar came with its own rules, and he seems to be making them up as he goes along. What you keep hearing people say is the way the U.S. government works, although the president gets to pick his attorney general, it isn't his lawyer. He has a White House counsel, and he can hire as many lawyers as he wants on staff. The attorney general is our lawyer. He is there to defend us against things under our law. And no matter what anybody tells you, the majority of attorney generals have generally done that. They've done their job properly. The ones who haven't, you know, they go back, they mention Mitchell, you can Google him. He was back around the times of Watergate and the rest. But Barr, for a man who's well-educated and very talented and didn't need the job, I am still wondering why he really wrote that 19-page application and why he took over. I'm shocked. Dealt with a lot of top corporate legal counsels and outside counsels, big, small, different governments. We'll see where it all goes. He's part of a spin team at this point, not our attorney general. So maybe Trump found his Roy Cohen. Although Roy Cohen, you could Google him, is a unique asset. Anyway, so I have a bunch of things. It's more going to be like headlines. I'd like to go over stuff and just generally throw out some thoughts to you. We can get into them more in depth. You could send me messages. Nobody sent me any while I was away, so hopefully that thing that I did on autocrats was enjoyed, but it's posted out there if you want to see it. First thing on my list was the Mueller report and then my case. So the Mueller report, now that they've put it out, not totally unredacted, you know, we have a lot of rules. Majority of our rules are to protect our citizens, make sure our rights are protected. Nobody's allowed to, like, out you and put your picture in the wrong place and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all have rights. This country is founded on free enterprise but the rule of law. And if we don't stick with the rule of law and properly follow this, and by the way, every time I've seen a survey, the United States is the most litigious country on the planet. We always have people who are coming up with a new angle and way of looking at things. But then again, we're a young government, only a couple of hundred years old. So, The Mueller report's being dissected like crazy, and from everything I've seen and having dealt with enough laws and rules and regulations, I believe Mueller, who's one of these by-the-book guys generally, very stoic, straightforward, and very intellectual, he put everything out there, and part of it might have been strategic. Remember, this is a man who, when he couldn't get in the Army to serve his country because he had some knee issues, he got them fixed and then got himself in and went to Vietnam and put his life on the line. Not that it isn't on the line if you're here at a base in the United States. You never know when someone feels like attacking you, as happened that time down in Texas where that one captain decided to bring his gun to the meeting and start shooting some of his compadres. I guess they weren't his compadres. So we're going to find out more. They're going to ask him to testify. But from what I've seen and the readings that I've seen, he's laid out the case for all of this. Just because you do something in plain sight, if I choke someone in front of you, it's no less a murder than if I choke them in private and they got to figure out it was my fingerprints on the neck. Doing it in public doesn't make it any less illegal. My case, as I've spoken over times, I've mentioned, part of my background in training is to find, as I said, the letters CPA to me stand for critical path analysis. Whatever you do, whether you're building a table, working in the garden, fighting a case, doesn't matter. You want to look at the rules, the regulations, what can you do? You know what the point is you want to get to. There are always different pathways of getting there. You want to find one that satisfies the variables that hit you. For example, when it comes to Congress, I'd been looking for a year and a half ago. I said, I'm looking at a Republican president, and I'm not picking on Republicans. I don't even think the man is a true Republican. I've known lots of them in my life, and some of them are famous. The first one being Lincoln. Man had great vision. Anyhow, and Eisenhower, second favorite of mine. So anyway, you have someone who's imposing his will in a lot of ways, and I could see this, having dealt with Washington a lot and always following politics and news and everything else. And I knew that to impeach anybody, even if you knew they did something wrong, you need the cooperation of two-thirds of Congress to impeach the president. Since the Republicans held both houses of Congress, it didn't look like they were going to be open to start impeachment proceedings, let alone vote against him. He was giving them what they wanted. We're going to get to that because everybody's heard the term quid pro quo, where you give me something, I give you something. The old, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Well, anyway, so I looked at everything that was out there and understanding rules and regulations. I'm not an attorney, but I've dealt with them all over the planet. It occurred to me that if you can't get two-thirds of Congress, both houses, to agree with you and do something, what other way can you get to the point? So as I did mention, I dug into my own pocket, spent my own money. I'm not rich nor wealthy. I'm just a nice old guy who's semi-retired. Anyway, I filed a case in U.S. District Court. Now, that's the federal court system, which is where you want to be if you want to do something against someone in federal office or pretending to be in federal office. The I words of impeachment and indictment, they're nice words, but you got to get to that point. To me, the I word that counts for this president, I've used it before, is the word interloper. Look it up in the dictionary. It's been around. It's someone who's pretending that they belong in that office and invalid. So I decided, and I looked up and filed my own paperwork in case. I filed a civil complaint back in January, the first half of January in this year, and I put it in the court system. Nobody kicked it out. Do I know when they read it? I'd love to know more about their process. That's difficult. You got to get people who deal with it day in and day out. So I diligently sent a copy that had been stamped of what I filed to Donald Trump. His address is, of course, the White House. That's his main address. The White House doesn't have a regular mailroom. Years before Donald, they realized for safety, in case people are sending poison or a bomb or anything else, all mail to the White House goes to a location that they screen it all before they give it to the president or to whoever he's designated. So I sent it certified mail. I checked with the authorities, people who do process serving and in Washington, and they said, no, it's almost impossible to serve the White House. So you serve it by certified mail, gives you enough proof. I did that. And during the shutdown, mail was delayed. So when I finally got back my cute little green ticket that shows that it was delivered to his address, not my choosing, but his address, I had my proof that it had done. I filed something called proof of service, put that with the court. Court also sent me paperwork that they wanted. I filed that diligently. So I waited. Nobody, I guess, noticed the case. Nobody responded to what I filed. And under our system, our rules of law, anybody can file a case. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who file cases that are absolutely frivolous. I hate this person. I'm going to file a case and say they're a piece of garbage. I don't like them. When the court looks at that, they're going to generally kick it out if there's no merit to it. You have to have what's called standing. You have to have merit. It can't be frivolous. What I filed is not frivolous. It's based on my standing as a U.S. citizen and my problem with my security that is threatened. Everybody well knows over the last few years that all of our intelligence agencies have said we were attacked, our election was tampered with. Whether Trump knew it or not, whether he cooperated, that's not even a question in my mind. But the act of attacking us, the cyber attack, we've got proof of it. Our agencies exist to advise the president. He looked at it and he said, well, that's nice. And then he goes to Helsinki. And everybody knows by now that he said, well, Putin told me he didn't do it. He had no reason to do it. They've indicted 25 Russians because they've checked the keystrokes back to their desk. They know who did it. So that is an attack in cyberspace, as it's called. There are many reasons we have to protect ourselves. We don't want our power plants to be turned off by a hacker. We don't want our water to get messed up or our dams to be opened and poured out in flood areas. There are so many things that you could do if you do disaster planning and attack planning. So my case got to a point where it was over 70 plus days where there was no response from when it reached his address. Under our law, if you've properly filed and you do have a proper reason, people have to respond once they've been notified. Otherwise, they lose by what I like to say, action of law, meaning you have so many days to respond. If you get a ticket, it says you got 30 days to go into court and talk about it. Otherwise, just pay it. Otherwise, we're going to put a warrant out and you're going to owe the money and we're going to be after you. So anyway, 70 plus days passed. I had I did some research. They don't have a form, but I had to make a motion for what's called a default judgment. When you do not respond and I've done a proper filing, the court is supposed to issue me a favorable judgment. They don't even have to read except to see it's not frivolous. So if I've properly filed, they owe me that I've won the case by default. Nobody answered it. So I filed for that about 2 weeks ago. And as far as I'm concerned, again, under our rules of laws, Donald Trump, who is the defendant in my case, he has a right to appeal. But not only don't I need two-thirds of Congress to agree with me, he can only appeal what I filed about. And I filed that because of actions he took during the campaign. When he made that famous speech a couple of times, Russia, if you're listening, on the federal election law, solicitation of a foreign national or entity or otherwise is illegal. So solicitation, just like if a prostitute walked up to your car and they said, hey, would you like to go with me? And you don't have to say yes. They've broken the law by soliciting. Okay? So like a lot of laws, you just have to start the action. You don't have to complete it to be illegal. So at this point, he has a right to appeal if he notices what's done once they issue my default judgment. And I don't need Congress to agree with me. I don't need to talk about Russia. I just have to talk about his actions. And again, one of the things that is in the federal courts, when Michael Cohen testified, there was individual one. He's the unindicted co-conspirator. We have all seen the checks that he signed in the White House with his fancy signature, with his magic marker. So there are two things he's done that defrauded the public and broke election law. Therefore, that disqualifies him from winning the contest. So my case is just to declare him invalid, which, if you carefully look at what happened in 2000 when we had that whole thing about hanging chads and it was Bush versus Gore, they went to the Supreme Court to say, what do I take as valid? And they basically said, okay, we're going to do this, remanded it back to Florida. And depending on which they said was right or wrong, one person won the election or not. If they weren't going to count Florida, Gore won the election. If they did count Florida, Bush won the election. So it was the Supreme Court, the federal courts, that decided on the validity of the election and what to take in. That's what I'm asking them, because there is no exact case. That's the closest. So we'll see where it goes. It's a timing thing. I'm trying to get it moved because everybody is looking at, they've got great evidence of obstruction, even conspiracy when you read it carefully, because collusion is not a crime. That's why he loves to keep repeating, no collusion, no collusion. Collusion doesn't matter. Nobody can do anything to you for collusion. It's like they can't arrest me for eating a bagel in public. Anyway, no laws broken. I ate my bagel in public. Anyway. So let's leave that for now, but I am quite serious. I've tried to reach out to people because no matter how much research I do, I don't know the process and procedure in federal courts. If you know anybody who deals with federal courts and knows more about them, be my guest. Please email me, send something to, as I said before, Instagram, AE, the word equals, MC, the word squared. Facebook, AE, the equal sign, the MC, the little caret, and a 2. Email me at AE, the word equals, MCSQ at gmail.com. I'd appreciate it because I have to move on and I want to move this out because, as I said, our security is at risk here. He's done nothing after all of our intelligence agencies told him what's going on to respond to the cyber attacks that have happened. Or take proper things to ensure the elections will be right. Next thing on my list here, I am a father. I've also raised children that were not my own. I've talked in my podcast a few times, the most precious resource that any of us have are children. If we don't take care of them, educate them, use them, give them the right tools, we're not getting the most out of them that we can. So as a parent, and I am an emotional person, I don't mind crying at movies or crying at something that really catches me. And sometimes when I think of things, I almost can't talk. Some people hope that happens more often, but that's another subject. Suicide. We had this young lady who left Florida, interestingly enough. Her last name is Pais. I may be mispronouncing it. My Spanish is terrible. But the bottom line is, that means country. Well, you got this 18-year-old girl who looked in good shape, was decent looking, studious pictures with her glasses on. Didn't look like she was unpopular or couldn't get a date or talk to anybody. But whatever drove her, she got on a plane, went to Denver, Colorado. That's where Columbine happened, one of the first mass shootings in a school. And those were local youngsters who did it. She gets off the plane, and she did her research, and she was able to buy a shotgun getting off the plane. Maybe she has no bad background record or anything. I get it. We do have laws. It allowed her to buy a gun and ammunition. So because of certain things, they realized where she was going and who she was. There was this manhunt, womanhunt, whatever the proper term would be for her. And they were looking for her, and I guess they couldn't find her. And I guess she realized that everybody was after her. Two things. One, to really kill somebody when they're not attacking you, it really takes a lot. You don't just go out and randomly shoot somebody unless you have no soul, no heart, no feelings. Maybe when she got there and she realized everybody was after her, she couldn't deal with it, but she committed suicide. She shot herself. One side of me says she saved us a lot of expense and trouble and the rest of it. But what bothers me as a parent and as a person, how do we let our children get to this stage, get to the age of 18, and we don't notice that something is troubling them? I'm a very in-your-face type person. Any kids I've raised, they know that they're going to hear from me if I see something. And I don't batter them, but I'm there for them, and I want to make sure I understand. I want to make sure they feel they could talk to me about anything. And believe it or not, I start that at a young age when I raise them, and I've had success with being able to tell children I've raised that they can always talk to me about anything. And I never repeat what they say to me personally, but I deal with it and recognize where they're going and how they're thinking. The other thing with suicide, the reason I called this suicide is, I think it was February, we had a TSA employee. These are the people who are at the airports that we yell, "Hey, can't you process us? Hey, I want to make my plane." A guy, and it was here in Orlando, and the hotel, we have these hotels that are wrapped around and inside the airports, and just the design of them has an open atrium in the middle. Well, he was bullied and harassed by his supervisors, and he tried to report it and everything else. I've been in charge of a lot of people in my life. I have taken action when I find that any people who work for me, or even if I see it happening, I will openly admit that when I was a child in public school, I was the biggest kid in my school, height-wise, size-wise, weight-wise, whatever. I did not like the idea of anybody bullying anybody, so I became the good bully, if there is such a thing. If I saw somebody bullying, I would stop them. I'd intercede. I wouldn't beat up the bully. I would just say, "Don't do this." Anyway, this guy jumped because he was harassed and couldn't get any answer. It was hard for him even to get a different job because they were giving him bad reports if an employer came to them. You don't have to like somebody. I have been with people. You live life long enough, you date people, you could be crazy about them. A year later, it might cool off and you don't go anyplace with it. Does it mean that they were bad or you were bad? No, it didn't work out. Move on with your life, okay? Again, my MIH, make it happen. Do not dwell and go into desperate situations and do something stupid. There are other people out there. Find someone who's better suited to you or someone you suit better. When you're going on a date, people are learning about you a little more. They don't know it till they spend time with you. So again, try and learn other people. Try and be, the term is, empathetic about what they're feeling. Don't let them get away with garbage. That's not what I'm saying. But we all have a certain responsibility in life to people in general to treat them right the way we would want to be treated. So I'll leave that. That's suicides. I hate it. I was very sad when I heard about the girl and this jumper. And we've got to intercede when we see bullying and harassment and in the workplace. Make sure you stand up for what's right. Notre Dame. Since I like everything and want to absorb things like a broken vacuum cleaner and just keep sucking it all in, Notre Dame, I've never been in Paris per se, but I've known of the place. I like architecture. I like engineering. It was famous for what's called flying buttresses. It's those things that are holding its outer walls up, which allow them to build it taller way back in the 1100s. I mean, the place was 800 to 900 years old. And because of that, they were able to put that peak roof on it. And then that spire that fell over when it burnt, that was only as old as our country. It was only a few hundred years old. It was an addition. Somebody decided to redecorate Notre Dame and add the spire. It was nice. It went along with some of the smaller spires they had. But we like our history. We like things to do. I have seen where countries, as they progress, sometimes an authoritarian leader modernizing a country almost wipes out their history. I saw it in Singapore. President Lee, who was the leader there for many times, you could look him up. Singapore is a city-state, smaller, easier to manage, as I was discussing last week about Cuba versus the Philippines. Singapore, President Lee, was modernizing the place, building malls, new buildings, the rest of it. They finally had to stop him because he almost had no old neighborhoods left for people who visited the country that like to look at, oh, we call it Old Town in some parts of Orlando. But you don't want to eradicate everything. We all came from someplace. If it's safe and it's good and it could be used, let's take care of it. I'm old. If I take care of myself, I last longer. And maybe I could still be useful to the public. They don't have to knock me down and rebuild me every year. So anyway, Notre Dame, interesting, beautiful place. I'm glad to see that some big companies that pull lots of money out of the economies of France and the globe stepped up, and three companies or families who've owned them for hundreds of years, generally speaking, they all put up almost $500 million right away. That's good. It's in their country. They make a lot of money out of the country. It is something that attracts. I think they have like 12 million tourists go through the Notre Dame every year. So it's a money-making place, and it's something of merit. But I couldn't help thinking that everybody jumped and everybody said, oh, yeah, it's been around and everything else before we even were a glimmer, let alone a country. Remember, it started in 1100, okay? It was finished construction in 1200. Bottom line is, Columbus didn't try and sail off the end of the planet till almost 1500, 1492. So, what about we have all these people who do hate crimes, not just bullying and harassment. We've gone through where my people have had swastikas painted on synagogues, and neighbors have come around to help. I love it what happened in Pittsburgh when all of the communities got together, the Muslims, the Catholics, the Jews, to say, hey, yes, they shot. Hold your services at our place. I've seen this. I actually worked when I was in the military with the chaplain's corps. And I had friends in every religion and every background. We all pray to God. You know what? I'm happy that people look to a greater being, hopefully get the ethics that go along with being a person of religion. You don't have to practice every day, but there's a way of being that religion teaches you that you should treat people properly. Okay? So we have three black churches that were burnt. That happened again years ago. But it's terrible that people feel that this is something they have to do. And I hope that we all kind of show our allegiance by helping. Maybe the churches are only 100 years old or 50 years old. It doesn't matter. It's a place of worship where people go. It's a place where everybody should say, they're allowed their places, we're allowed ours. That's what this country is all about. We welcome all the difference. It's the diversity that has built this country because we look for people who want to come here, be free, work hard, and make something. That's what we are as a nation. And immigration is what built us as a nation. So, let's leave that for the moment. You also had Flint. That is a disgrace to us as a nation. When somebody changed their water supply, poisoned a lot of their children and people, we still haven't fixed it. I, on my scientific side, have an answer for that because a lot of people don't look to other areas. We can make that another speech. I'm still looking for people to talk to, and I'll explain it maybe in a different podcast. Then we have taxes and economic justice. I've spoken about it. I put up a little sign up here. I'm trained in economics. I'm not the best professor maybe in the world. I've lectured on it. I've answered questions of people. The economy is how we interact with each other, what we do, what we're willing to trade. Give me some beads, I'll give you a piece of cloth. Okay, I'll go earn money and I can buy what I want. As I've told everybody, except for businesses that start up, people invest in, and they fail, then the investors bear that loss and they can take it, depending on how they did it, as a write-off against other income or not. They tried to start a business. That's what we're all about in America, free enterprise. But all the companies that exist, from a barbershop up to the biggest corporations, be it Apple, Facebook, I don't care. An oil company. It doesn't matter. Every expense they have, as I've said ad nauseum, and I'm sure people who've talked to me get tired of hearing it, but we, the consumer, pay all their expenses, whether it's raw materials, supplies, sales taxes, and income taxes. It goes into the price we pay for that. The only difference, as I've said, and I'll harp on it again, I'm going to try and put an article together to see if some major magazines would put it. When we get paid, our system changed over the years that at the end of the year when we fill out our tax return to pay for the country, because it's our country, as I said, we own it, we pay for it. So when we pay our taxes, we don't have to scrape together money. They withhold during the year on our taxable income. Companies, businesses, when they're calculating the expenses they're going to charge you for their product, they also put in there for federal income taxes. Now, the big difference is we don't have them deposit it. We have them hold on to it till they decide to declare the income. That could be deferred sometimes, depending upon accounting treatments, strategic setups of who owns what in your corporate group. And it could be that they never turn it over. So think about it. We, when we buy, and again, the number I'm using is roughly what we, the 98% of us, spend in a year in America. We spend $14 trillion on goods and services. The GDP is $20 to $21 trillion. But there's a buying of supplies for next year and stuff that's in there that we didn't final purchase. But we final purchase about $14 trillion a year. In that $14 trillion, there are, and I know it's going to sound crazy, but there are hundreds of billions of dollars that are collected by these companies that are not put in our treasury. That's why I've talked about this. Forget about new taxes that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, bless them, hope they get it through, whatever they want to do, as long as it's a fair and equitable method. I have no problem with it. But we pay the bill for everything. So when we pay these estimated federal income taxes in the goods and services we buy from these businesses during the year, what I want to do is get everybody to understand it came out of our pocket. I want them to deposit that money that year. And we give them a credit slip. So whenever they do report the income, whatever strategy they're using, they're going to have a credit for the taxes. They won't have to pay again. But I don't want them to take that money out of our pocket, because that's where it came from, our pocket. Put it in our treasury, because in a given year, we have a budget to run our country, which we own. If we have a shortfall because we didn't collect enough taxes, guess what we do? We borrow. We put out treasury notes or bills or whatever. People love investing because we're a great country. We don't default on this stuff, unless you get an idiot who doesn't understand our system. But anyway, so when we have a shortfall in that budget because the revenues collected from taxes don't equal the budget, we borrow more. When we borrow, we pay interest to borrow. So why are we paying interest when all these companies are holding on to our money from our pocket till they feel like reporting it or turning it over, which could be never. So it's additional profit. It's like they've asked you to give them a tax-free loan, interest-free, and we pay separately to borrow for the shortfall. Okay? The shortfall. So as I said, I want to write up a paper, see if I get the magazines to publish it, and whatever we've paid in the price of those goods or services for federal income tax that they estimated, put that right in our treasury. They don't need that money. We paid them their profits separately. Next issue, gun rights and wrongs. I have a problem. I served in our military. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in our rights to bear arms and the rest of it. But you know what? As has been said many times, and I know tons of people who have guns. I was trained. I was actually trained up to the level of being a weapons instructor. And I used a lot of weapons. But some of the weapons I used that I trained on, I would not walk around the streets with. I would not ever point it at a person. I would never hold it loaded. Yeah, everybody can say to protect us under the Second Amendment from foreign or domestic. Well, you know, so far the people who've come against us have been people who've been domestic more than anything else, who've bought ARs or other type of assault rifles or other modifications so that they can kill more people. If you look at, as I've tried to explain to people, own your weapons, have collections if you want, have a blunderbuss, which was used back in the days of pirates, have any kind of thing, keep shooting pistols, that's fine. Make sure they're secure so your kid doesn't pick it up and kill themselves because you didn't secure it in your home. But we do not need, and it's simple enough to see, go to any jurisdiction you live in. Look for the hunting license form. And most of the hunting license forms or the rules behind it will show you that you'll fill out what are you hunting for. None of them will give you a license to hunt for a deer or a bear or anything else or a turkey with an assault rifle. So let's understand this. I believe in the Second Amendment. I'm trained in using weapons. The weapons they're talking about are not weapons that should be on our streets. And yes, we know criminals can get them. There are ways we can work with that. So again, let's get a little more sensible about guns. Report card. I'm going to do a podcast because, let me use my Brooklyn Street language. I've been pissed for years when I've gone to Washington because everybody is busy. They have a job to do. Our federal legislators, the Congress, Senate, and House of Representatives, we send them there. Our states, which are individual governments, have their own legislature. We have our rules here in Florida. They do stuff for what we do day to day in our state and in our counties. But when it comes to the federal laws, when we set up this wonderful nation that we have, we ceded certain rights to the federal government. And we put these people that we elect, their job is not to bring money home for a bridge that, you know, because they signed a bill that somebody wanted. You know what? That's horse trading in the old days. You know, okay, I'll vote for your bill, you vote for my bill. That's common. You got to work together. We send people, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, independents, socialists, I don't care what they want to call themselves. Their job when they go to Washington is to help run our federal government, fix laws if they need it, create something new because of technological changes, because that's why laws change also. They shouldn't be spending half their week going home to election and get people to donate to them. Eventually, we should set up a system where we get money out of politics because we want to get a person who goes there to do their job. Their job is to run the country for our best interest economically and physically and security-wise. Not to see how many votes they can get and who's the most popular and who gets more contributions. So what I would propose, and I'll do a podcast on it, is we set up a report card. And when we do elect someone, We expect them to follow and give us a reporting on how they did on these various subjects that affect our life, be it taxes, healthcare, education. These are all important for us as citizens day to day in our country. So we can set up a report card, and that's how we could look at them. I don't care whether they're male or female, whether they're transgender. That doesn't bother me. I've always believed since I read the Constitution in equal rights. But that means there's equal responsibility. We're sending you there for a reason. Let's make sure we give you a guideline that we want you to report back to us what you've been doing. So that's the report card. As I've said before, when it comes to elections, and man, I was so proud of my country when in 2018, over 100 million voters came out because they called it a midterm election. Excuse me. The president, except for someone who wants to see how much power he can grab, the president is like a chief executive or a manager of our store. We elect them to run the place. Somebody's got to be in charge. But we provide the funds. We provide the laws that he has to operate within. Okay? That's what happens with our Congress. So the House of Representatives, as you may have heard, hold the purse strings. They're the ones who dole things out, put the budget together. Where is the money going to go that we've put in the budget and appropriated? Different people try and get the money under their control, so maybe they can get a little bit out of it. That's a separate issue. So again, midterm elections? No. The only thing that's midterm is we elect a president. We add him to the list every 4 years. But every 2 years, we elect everybody in the House of Representatives. So no election is more or less important than any other. Yes, when the president votes, but you know, just because we say, hey, that guy is nice, he's interesting, he speaks well, he's educated, so you go out once every 4 years to vote for a president, he isn't fully in charge of the country. We don't have a dictatorship. We do not have an autocracy. We have people who have to work together if they want to survive and our country thrive. So let's keep that in mind. Every election's important. And everybody should go out and vote. Remember, I've said it in my podcast, one share of America, which we all have, whether we're rich or poor, we all own one share of this country, is worth close to $200,000. You keep that share good by going out and voting. And if people you picked fail you, you went on a date, you found out you don't really like them, you vote them out the next time. I don't care. And this has nothing to do with party. It has to do with performance. You know, when you go out with someone who you were attracted to, that only lasts till you start to talk to each other and see if you're compatible. We need people to perform. That's what we're going to get to with that report card I was talking about. President with Congress. As I said, the reason I filed a case is here I am. I've been in Washington many times. I understand how our government operates. So we have a Republican president. And again, as I say, I have lots of friends who have been Republicans all their life. I feel for them because he is not a Republican in the sense of what the word meant throughout most of history. Not in the way that Lincoln was a president or Eisenhower was a president, both of whom I revere. Anyway, so when it comes to it, I looked at the president and the Congress being the same party, but look back, do a little research. Nobody has to tell you. We've got access to all kinds of information nowadays, okay? You don't have to even walk out to the library. You could sit on the couch, cup of coffee, popcorn, it doesn't matter. Spend time on your country. It affects your life. You haven't seen, both in the Senate and the House of Representatives, they have oversight committees. The reason those committees were put there was to monitor what our government is doing. Are they doing what we need? Are they doing something that's wrong? First 2 years of this presidency, they all stayed in their room. They did nothing. Mitch McConnell wouldn't even bring a bill to the floor. If you think you have a good position, bring a bill to the floor. argue it. That's what it's all about. That's what we pay you to do. That's what that report card is I'm talking about that we'll do a podcast on. So the president and the Congress, you had what is quid pro quo. We've all heard that thrown around. What he did was they're looking for justices. So he just gives them a list of conservative justices. They figure they'll be there for the next century or so. Until you have a lawsuit and something that affects you, you don't think about it. But those people enforce the laws, as well as Congress makes the laws that we have to live within. The more we don't monitor who we put there and what they do, the more that we or our descendants are going to have to deal with crap, in plain English, that doesn't make sense. So let's think about that, and let's make sure we start to understand, because in the military, they use the term, but it applies anywhere when you're working. There's the term dereliction of duty. It means you have a job. Are you doing it? That's what that report card's going to be about. So if Congress is not doing their job because the president's feeding them the candy they want, we have an empty government that we're paying each one of them about $200,000 a year, plus staff, plus officers, plus light. Why pay them? Let them stay home if they're going to really do nothing, if their whole idea was just to put justices that they like, not that follow what we need or want as a country. That's where that report card's going to come in. It's our country. We can do something about it all the time. That's why you see more people on the streets. They get angry when they realize what's going on. You don't want to be disobedient. You don't want to set cars on fire. You don't want to break windows. That's not protesting. That is being unlawful. But if you want to get out in the streets and make it known that we do not like what's going on, that's what the freedom of this country is about. We don't have an election, but we can make sure we're heard. We don't just have to send a phone call or a text message to our congressman. We can spend a little time going out there and protesting peacefully. That's our right. And don't stop somebody who's holding a sign that's different than yours. You have to look at all opinions so you understand what makes sense. Now, so really the president and Congress for the first 2 years, quid pro quo. He's giving them what they want. And they're giving them no heartaches. Executive orders. Donald Trump complained about Obama using executive orders and overreaching or whatever. You can go look at the statistics. Donald loves to sit at his desk and make those things. It looks like a bad cardiac exam with his magic marker and hold them up to you so you can see. Look at my pretty signature. You can't read what it is. But he puts out executive orders like the edicts. An edict is when a ruling autocrat says, this is what I believe should happen. And he's almost daring anybody to challenge him. That's why we have to send people to challenge him. Okay? Because as I said, I am spending my time trying to clear up what I consider an infection in our country. Okay? Has nothing to do with Republicans, has nothing to do with laws, has to do with what I see when I look at everything he is or isn't doing. So, to just give you an example, everybody's heard of the Emoluments Clause. You normally didn't hear about it, except we've got this wealthy billionaire. We want to make sure that he's not doing things that favor himself. Every president. In the modern era, people don't get elected unless they have enough money behind them or enough money to run, because most of us have to work to pay our bills to live. So when you get a guy who's, when he's campaigning, tells you, I've paid no taxes, ask me how that bothers me. I've talked about it before. If you pay no taxes, yet you use our roads, our airports, our military, we protect you so you can grow your businesses and run them. But you pay no taxes. If you pay no taxes, we have to pay a little more because that budget doesn't change. So are you better than us? We should support you if you're that wealthy and that smart. Pay your fair share. Then you go around when you go to NATO the first time and you tell them that they're not paying their fair share, they should pay more. You just admitted to the world that you pay nothing. Then you go to the UN and you say they're taking advantage, we pay more. I hate to say it, we've always made more, we have more influence, we pay more because we want these organizations to exist for our benefit. NATO means that we don't necessarily have to wait for people to attack us on our shores. We have people closer to where the people who have stated they're our enemies are. Think about it, folks. President says, I'm going to donate my salary. I don't need it. I've always laughed. An executive at a decent firm, let alone a gigantic firm, if you only paid them $400,000 a year, they'd never work for you. But the presidency has so much power and prestige, people want to do it. People want to serve their country if they're really serious about the presidency. So he gives back his $400,000 to charity. Let's take a simple look at one thing where he puts money in his own pocket. When he goes to Mar-a-Lago or any of the resorts that he owns, we have to pay for him to be there. We pay for him because we're using one of the rooms. It's a business. Well, remember, it's his business. So we pay for him. We pay for the Secret Service. We pay for golf cart rentals. We give him Camp David. He has a place to go on a weekend. There are golf courses near there. But no, he takes the whole entourage to Mar-a-Lago or some of his other resorts. The figures I saw toward the end of last year is 30% of his time he has spent at his own businesses that he owns. So when he takes it down there, he's making us put money in his businesses, his companies. I've pegged it at least $1 million for the weekend. So in one weekend, he collects $1 million in a company he owns, okay? While we are happy that he gives us back $400,000 for the whole year, I've read the statistics. Some people say it's $1 million a day between the plane and the people and the coverage and everything else and the food and whatever. I'm not saying he eats expensive food, but they charge you a lot at his resorts for everything. So if he spent a few hundred days out of his first 2 years, because each day he's paying bills, we're paying bills for going there. So he gives us $400,000 for 1 year, $400,000 for the next year. We're up to $800,000 for the first 2 years. I don't need your salary. Of course you don't need our salary. You're making us pay 200 days, if the numbers I've seen recently at $1 million a day, total cost of him being there. So we've already handed him $200 million or more. Think about it, folks. I'd rather he keep the $800,000 that we paid him in those 2 years and stop forcing us to go to his businesses. Now, I don't want to run short. I've got a few more items. As I said, this is a catch-up day. Anything you want, we'll go to it and we'll get into it. I did get one. One of our people, regular person. Hey, Jerry. I forget if it's not on here, whether he's on Facebook or... Facebook? Yeah, on Facebook. Thank you for watching. I know you've been watching us at the beginning. There is no proof that he donates his money. Well, you know, we've all seen proof of the checks he signed for the prostitutes that he slept with, okay? Let him give us a receipt, but I'll take him on his word. Wouldn't you give up $400,000 or 2 years, $800,000 to collect $200 million in companies you own and control? Not a bad exchange. So I don't even need proof that he's donating. I don't care if he does donate. I care that he makes us pay. Okay? I'd like to see an accounting. I am trained as an accountant. I'd like to see an accounting for what he has spent from the presidential budget in 2 years for his trips. Okay? Trips that he did not have to take. We don't need a winter White House. He's not been snowed in one in Washington, D.C. that much. And we do have Camp David. Anyway, if he really had any love of the country, he'd have his own little wing at Mar-a-Lago and not charge us for him going there. It's his benefit. We hire the president to be 24/7 on duty. It's the most demanding job on the planet, okay? Maybe not as demanding as being on the front line where people are shooting at you, but 24/7, he has a job for taking care of us and our country. I don't like what he does with his time. Immigrants in sanctuary cities. So Donald wants to come back and show us. Collusion per se is not a crime. I can get together with people and say, hey, let's make this happen. Let's build a shed. Let's start a business. That's colluding. If you do something that abridges other people's rights or steps on their rights or breaks local laws, then it turns over to conspiracy. Now, conspiracy sounds more like spying and stuff, but again, we're just cutting edges. As I said, when you read what I've seen so far in the Mueller report, the man has been breaking laws. If he were not the president, and I believe Mueller, who would have indicted him in a heartbeat with what he has seen, Mueller wanted to make sure his report got out. So by going along with the the decision of the Office of Legal Counsel, OLC, it's a little group within the Department of Justice. Now, think about this. Our laws, our main laws are no person is above the law. Period. Period. We can't make a law that says the president is. But we got this cute little thing that somebody stuck in there that says, oh, you can't indict a sitting president. Believe me, if he shot your wife, your mother, your child, you would want to go wring his neck. I don't care. You're not going to say, oh, I'm going to wait till he finishes his term. No. If he has broken the law, but Mueller is smart enough that he said, I'm not going to argue that technical point. I want to get all this information out there. If I read the man right, he has served his country. He has even struggled to make sure he could serve his country. Read his background. So anyway, he got the report out and arrest. We only have a few minutes. Let me go on. So Trump says now he's going to take these immigrants because we're being invaded by these immigrants. We can separately get into that again, how he makes money off of doing that. But he now wants to send those immigrants to sanctuary cities. The liberals, guess where he lived? New York City. We're a sanctuary city. Orlando is considered a sanctuary city. San Francisco, Seattle. You know what? I run those cities. I'm going to tell him, plain and simple, send them up here. But you give them a plane ticket or a bus ticket to get here. You give them a return trip for when they have to appear in court, which is part of our asylum system. So now he's doing us a favor. He's not shipping them out of the country. He wants us to have them. I don't mind. You started this shit. Follow it through. Give them a ticket, round trip, so they could appear in court. Give us the information. Let them keep their children with them. And pay for them residing in our city. Because you were putting them in tents and giving contracts out where people in the back door were giving you donations to your to your campaign funds. Believe me, if they audit what he's gotten in the back door from contractors who built these cities, let me just say, the other thing that bothers me is people don't look at it, but there's something called the Geneva Convention. It follows old things that date back more than 1,000 years, where how do you treat prisoners of war? How do you treat people humanely? So I'm going to make this a little quick. What we've done is actually the way we've put people in some of these things in barbed wire and other stuff. Yes, you need a container. Don't get me wrong. You got to control people. I understand all of that. But some of them would fail under the Geneva Convention as proper treatment of a prisoner. So if we're treating them worse than we've signed a convention, a Geneva Convention, that you have to treat our prisoners, we'll treat yours this way, we're not doing our job. Wounded animal, dead man walking.